Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. Chill show tonight. Not much happening other than Bitcoin rising to 50K. That is quite amazing. Shamrock Shake was saying, did JF do a video about BTC investing for beginners? Yes, I did. You have to review my video called Surviving with Bitcoins. So just type in Odyssey, Surviving JFGT, and you're going to find the episode. Surviving with Bitcoin is my full guide for the person who doesn't know much about. You want to start from scratch. You want to be full security. You don't want to trust exchanges to keep your Bitcoin. You'll find everything you need to know in this video. Lendald Guntram says, be prepared for some replacement eventually taking place, but do not expect 10K. No, there were people who dreamed of 10K a few months ago only. It wasn't so long ago that we were hearing, I'm waiting for 10K. Well, now I think 10K is not in the cards ever again. Forget about Bitcoin at 10K. That's pretty much what I was telling you guys at 16K. Lendald says, oh, I mean retracement, not replacement. Replacement will also come for Bitcoin. I'm sure one day there will be some other currency. Maybe even ETH will evolve and with smart contracts and everything. But it's I can't even guarantee that ETH, that there will be a flippening at all. Because ETH has supposedly smart contract capabilities, but it's like we can't really use it. It's not viable. You can't really run anything on the ETH blockchain that's meaningful because it's too costly. So now we have layer two chains, and it's like, well, if you're going to have a layer two, then why not do Bitcoin? And you make a Bitcoin ordinal that refers to a layer two Bitcoin blockchain that does smart contracts. Why is it necessary anymore to have ETH as part of the great collection of... Because ETH, the one thing that they had that was superior was, oh, well, it's going to be a machine to do everything publicly. But it's been unviable. And so at this point we have, oh, well, we're going to write the ZK proof of the computation on ETH, but the computation will be happening in the smart contracts of Polygon. And now it's like, well, you could do this with Bitcoin. You could do this with a Bitcoin ordinal. Black Tie says, why not just have Ethereum? Well, because Ethereum doesn't have any more capability than Bitcoin. And Bitcoin was there first. And it's hard to justify why we would do a move to Ethereum as a whole society. If Ethereum, its main advantage, it cannot really do it. It needs all these layer twos and these strategies to optimize cost. Because if you run a true smart contract, a complex smart contract interaction that could be at the heart of an interesting game or program of some kind on the blockchain, it's going to be $1,000 on ETH. You can't have a game in which every turn is $100 and in which the full game costs you $1,000 and it's just a minimal lotto game. It's not viable. Stephen Robinson says, Pulse. Well, Pulse. I haven't seen people migrate to Pulse for computation either. Yes, layer twos have lower fees as a whole, but I don't know that it's even viable compared to the competitors, which are Arbitrum and Polygon. So Pulse Chain, I don't know if it's going to become anything because I haven't even checked, but I wouldn't be surprised that they don't outcompete Arbitrum and Polygon. You tell me if I'm wrong on this. Stephen Robinson says, Pulse Chain is ETH with low fees. Well, that's also what Polygon and Arbitrum are. So what is the added value of Pulse Chain? I don't still know. Saturn Shine says, as Elon bought a lot of Bitcoin, I mean, at this point, it's not Elon. It's not Elon. It's the whole world. With the Bitcoin ETF, now everyone will have Bitcoin, even in their retirement account. Even people who don't know that they have Bitcoin will have some. Boris Johnson has meltdown after being exposed for sabotaging Ukraine. He's still talking of Ukrainian victory in the current circumstance. These people are deluded.
Around the world, people are watching that ludicrous interview with Vladimir Putin conducted by Tucker Carlson, and we must not fall for this tissue of lies, above all for the notion that Putin is somehow fated to succeed in Ukraine. On the contrary, he is doomed to fail.
What does that mean? What do you think will happen, Boris Johnson? There will suddenly be a regain of vigor on the Ukrainian side. They're going to take back Crimea. They're not even capable of taking back, a couple of meters in areas that are much closer to Kiev. Forget about Crimea. Forget about taking back everything you want to take back. Just admit the loss, Boris Johnson. And yes, comb your hair, bitch, says John Drake. John Drake was saying BTC is proof of work and has the most nodes. It's the most secure system in the world. This is what makes it best. yes, for now it is a very secure, lots of eyes on Bitcoin. And it's fascinating how we came to trust Bitcoin as solid as anything. Like I've seen in my life, giants fall. I've seen Napster fall. I've seen LimeWire fall. I've seen to a certain extent even MicroTorrent fell as a software. You have all these decentralized options. We've seen Pirate Bay somewhat fall. You know, it's, I know there are proxies and it's surviving in some form, but I've seen giants fall again and again on the internet, but we have come to treat Bitcoin as unstoppable, and it may very well be. It's fascinating. Speaker's Corner says, JF, new all-time high before halving, yes or no? Definitely within the possibilities. I wouldn't say yes for sure, but it's definitely coming into a very realizable possibility. Because how many days are left before the halving? About 60 days, I think. In 60 days, you can totally have... What's left in terms of increase to touch the last all-time high is super easy. It's not hard at all for Bitcoin to do that move. So as long as the BTC ETFs keep the pressure on, they keep this constant flow of money, it may very well be where we are fated to be. Man, it's going well. I mean, you can't complain when that happens. The campaign for Nikki Haley versus Trump is getting aggressive with chicken. Chicken are present in the two campaign ads. It started apparently with a Nikki Haley campaign ad, probably from a super PAC or something. Donald Trump is chicken. He won't debate Nikki Haley. Too old and unfit. Or just unhinged and afraid. We don't know. But one thing we do know.
SFA.
So it's fed by SFA Fund, probably a fund that supports Nikki Haley.
It is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Donald Trump is chicken. Well, Donald Trump has responded with an ad of his own. Nikki Haley says she wants to debate Donald Trump. What's the point? She lost all these states, and one of them to none of the above. Now she's sinking in the poll. We all know how this ends. What? Stick a fork in Nikki Haley, she's done. Nikki Haley has been transformed into fried chicken. Is that a South Carolinian reference? Is fried chicken an item that is associated? I've been in North Carolina, so I know that fried chicken is associated with the area. So Donald Trump takes her opponent and deep fries her. She is ready for the fork. This is what you have to like about Donald Trump. You don't get this from much other politicians. This kind of, and same thing with Elon Musk. Like, he brings on Twitter a meme of Disney being reversed, and he said, "These nuts." This I've been on the internet for decades now. I still don't understand this whole "these nuts." What is this meme exactly? I know it always refers to testicles. I know the nuts are the testicles, but the "D's." What exactly? Why is it that we have this phrasing "these nuts"? Maybe some of the English people on the regular chat can educate me. I don't know exactly how that works. These nuts. I'm guessing that these is like T-H-E-S-E, these. Yeah. But then what does that mean, these nuts? Well, where does that come from? What's the history? And like, so you point to nuts and you say these nuts. It's a 1992 album by Dr. Dre. The actual track is spelled "These Nuts." Okay. Okay. Oh, well, I'm going to have to go listen to it. That sounds like... Okay, suck on these nuts. So you are saying to the person to suck your testicles. Okay, it's clearer now. Clearer. Australian teenager Sam Ballard in 2010 was drunk with his friends and they made a challenge. He was dared to eat the slug, and after some debate, he decided it would be funny. So he did. A few days later, Sam became weak and complained of severe pain in his legs. After visiting the emergency room, doctors told him he had contracted a parasite known as rat lungworm from the slug. Soon after the diagnosis, Sam fell into a coma where he remained for 420 days. He woke up paralyzed, unable to eat, without a tube, or move without intense effort. He required 24-hour care, 7 days a week. He died 8 years later in 2018. Well, look at this. He became totally handicapped. Don't eat slugs. Is that a giant slug? Shamrock says. I don't know. New guy says, I know this is off topic, but I'm going to defend pagans against Christian lies. February is an old word. It means cleanliness. The original February holiday in Rome, Lupercalia, celebrates cleanliness, hygiene, and purity. It was the Christians who turned it into a sex celebration. Well, the video that my girlfriend shared with me was saying other things. I think it may have mentioned this celebration, but there was a feast. This video claims that the Valentine's Day is inspired from a February celebration in which there was a feast. And where there was celebration of fornication of some kind. But it's like, I'm laughing my ass off when I see you guys' reaction to... Some of you guys apparently are taking issue with the whole position that Valentine's Day is pagan of origin. Like, don't come to me. I really don't care. It's something that I reported as a belief of my girlfriend. I find it funny. I find it interesting and based, kind of. And it's amazing because you guys keep coming back to me with arguments that take for granted the authority of the Catholic Church. But you have to understand this. My girlfriend doesn't recognize the authority of the Catholic Church. Citing the Catholic Church or saints that were declared by the Catholic Church is like citing a schizophrenic homeless to her. It passes above her head, and she's trying to get information that matters to her, and you're citing the Catholic Church, the Pope, Saint Valentine, Saint this, Saint that. It's a you have to... If you want to convince my girlfriend, you have to give me some argument that will concern her. Speaker's Corner says, Jeff, tomorrow is pancake day. How many pancakes will you eat? Probably the same number of pancakes I eat every day, which is zero. I don't recognize pancake day. I don't like pancakes. I think it's ridiculous. Like, I don't even eat crepes, but if you were serious about eating something that's a bakery for breakfast, you would be eating crepes. If you eat pancakes, you're eating really cheap syrup sponge. That's what you're eating. And what's the difference between... Why don't you just take a sponge, like literally the sponges that we use for cleaning the dishes, and just absorb fake syrup with it. Just absorb liquid brown sugar. You're going to get the same effect as a pancake. You won't even need to cook it. Pancakes are absolutely ridiculous. They are uninteresting. Crepes would be the thing. Maybe, French toast. But even those things I don't eat because they're sweet. Tucker's first discussion since the Vladimir Putin interview. It's kind of an interesting interview, although the interviewer is literally retarded. He's asking, he doesn't speak English very well, and it's like, but it's interesting because Tucker gets to talk, and sometimes he gets interrupted by this retard, but sometimes he talks and you get to hear something new.
Or a company or a soccer team ever in my life, in a life spent interviewing people, I've never heard a single one of them say, I don't know the answer. It's very complicated. I haven't figured it out. I've never heard anybody say that. And to me, that is the purest sign of wisdom, because wisdom grows from humility. Wisdom grows from the recognition that you are not God. And in the United States, we had a period where we were sort of, having this debate about, are some religions good and some religions bad? I'll tell you my view on it, and it's a hardened view. It's a sincere view. I divide the world not between Muslim, Jew, and Christian, or Buddhist. I divide the world between people who believe they're God and people who know they're not. And the only people I trust are in the second category, because that is the beginning of wisdom. When you know you are not God, that you cannot affect every change that you want, that you can't foresee the future, that you're not omnipotent, then you are much more likely to make good decisions, wise, humane decisions. By contrast, when you believe you have the power to shape the world and other people, as we were hearing this morning through biohacking, when you think you can create a better human being through technology, you're very dangerous because you don't understand your own limits. And you will get a lot of people killed when you have those false beliefs, in my opinion.
Absolutely fascinating to hear. Tucker is now that's almost TRP pilled. People were making jokes that Putin may be TRP pilled. Tucker seems pretty TRP pilled here. That's totally what I would say. And I think it's beautiful what he's saying and very important. The distinction between people who think they're God and people who know they're not. That is a beautiful distinction, because I think I think it allows me as an atheist to be part of the chain of being invoked by Tucker here. I'm on the side of Tucker here because I know I'm not a god. That is very important, and it's such an amazing distinction point that, yes, you can divide humanity in a binary here. And yeah, the Marxists do fall on the side of thinking they're God because they want to manipulate society. They want to change it against reality. They think they're omnipotent. Charles Garrity says those were powerful words, really. Yes, I think this is maybe some of the most clever thing I've heard this year up to now. The people who believe they're God and people who know they're not. That can regroup a bunch of Christians with a bunch of atheists. And I totally want to be here on the side of Tucker. Because ultimately, TRP is a warning about people attempting to either be God themselves or to trust an AI and kind of forget that it's not a God and kind of leave that question on the side, but trust it as a God. That is so interesting, and I'm confident that Tucker would like to hear about the revolutionary phenotype, and he seems absolutely prepared. If he doesn't know already about it, he seems absolutely prepared to hear this message. There was a shooting at the Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church. 2 injured, including a child who is in grave condition after a shooting at Pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church. Houston police say the shooter is also down. Now, the shooter... look at how they describe the sex of the shooter. Because shootings are a male thing. Shootings fall among the category of chicken wings and barbecues and tractors. They are male things. But look at how the sex of the shooter is described here.
So she has utilized both male and female names, but through all of our investigation to this point, talking with individuals, interviews, documents, Houston Police Department reports, she has been identified this entire time as female, she, her, and so we are identifying her as Genesee Moreno, Hispanic female.
Genesee Moreno, Hispanic female. But it seems that there are criminal records that were predating and that where they appear as Jeffrey Escalante Moreno. So look, it's very rare that a woman will go onto a shooting. So what do we have here? Is that a woman who was taking testosterone or is that a male who was presenting as a woman? I don't know. But it looks like some kind of trans shooting, because they target Christians, they target churches that they perceive as anti-LGBT. I don't know that Joel Osteen is particularly anti-LGBT, but it wouldn't be the first time that we have a trans person frustrated against Christianity. Dino Lugovic says, does she have balls and a cock? You know, at some point, it may be the question we have to ask to the police. You know, because at this point, we're like, well, is she a woman? Well, we have done research throughout this individual's history. And it's like... No, do they have balls and a penis? At some point, it's the only way you're going to get an answer. It's the only way you're going to know the truth. Open Borders for Israel sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, Jeff, look at the brilliant reflections on your debate with our Israeli friend. Okay, there's a publicity. Here, let me try to. It's the YouTube ads, you know. Okay, so it's the guy I debated on the Jewish question. Let's see what he has to say. He was saying, let's say a few words about last week's debate.
Conversation, we had Jean-François Gorepi, a.k.a. JF. Conversation about the Jewish question. JF is an anti-Semite. I don't know if he self-identifies as such, but I've rarely found an anti-Semite describing themselves as such. I thought it was a good discussion. I'll go through some of the... It was triggering to many people. I got a fair bit of pushback. So I'll go over the feedback I got from people and talk on that a little bit, and then just share some reflections. If you're not watching this live and you're watching it after the fact, you can zoom forward or skip forward 10 or so minutes.
People say he used the word. I didn't quite hear what he was saying at the beginning. That I'm. I think he was referring to I think he's talking about some insect spray or whatever. I don't know.
And we'll be at the Israel-Palestine segment by then. So one of the critiques, and this critique I've gotten many times throughout the years doing these live streams, is that I shouldn't be platforming somebody like JF. I've gotten similar critique when platforming people, even like Noam Chomsky or Norman Finkelstein or Yishai Fleischer, right? There's different people who have extremely problematic positions that people think shouldn't be platformed. So my opinion on that, generally speaking, is
it's painful, bro. We're 1:25 in. I haven't. On the question of whether I should talk to someone, no one cares. You're being annoyed by the trolls that you deserve, which are trolls who feel entitled to control who you platform. Fuck them. That's all there is to say.
It's okay to platform anybody if you are going to push back and give a counter. Okay? So
it's okay to platform anybody, period, because it's a liberal society, for fuck's sake.
I think it's generally better to have conversations out in the public so people can see them. And that's better than just shutting it down. Most Jews actually don't truly understand anti-Semitism. They really simplify it as, oh, it's just blind hate. They just hate us for being Jewish. You know, they don't really understand what drives it. In order to solve anything, you need to understand where it comes from. So
that's good. That is a good view. Don't be a reductionist. Don't come to me and say, oh, you're just being hateful. No, understand my argument and think about it. Think about how we could come to a resolution in society instead of just pointing it as hatred. Because hatred, there's no solution to it. You're invoking some emotion in my brain that I don't even feel. That is a good point.
I think bringing these conversations out to the forefront are essential to understanding them and working towards, I'm not going to say solving it, because I think all forms of group hate will exist, but you know, moving towards a world with less of this group hate. If I were to just bring him on and not give any pushback.
You see that he's very technical in his language. He calls it group hate. Because he has thought through. This guy has thought through. We're okay with people hating other people. Like if I come to you and I say that there's this person in my life that I've known 10 years ago, I hate them. That's not a problem. And would it be a problem if I hated two people? Would it be a problem if I hated three people? At what point does it become a problem? And he's very aware of these questions. That he's been thinking about it for a long time. That's why he's using group hate. Now, of course, hate, the very concept of hate, it is a semantic game of the modern world. It's ridiculous that we're talking about it as a technical term in politics because it belongs to false emotional... It's a false framing that frames a legitimate political position into a kind of anger psychopathology. That I understand.
And just give him free rein to share his views, then I would say that that's legit room for critique. So to me, it really comes down to, is there pushback? And ultimately, it's like people watching that stream, is that more likely to make them anti-Semitic, or is it more likely to get them to question these quite common anti-Semitic positions? And I think the latter to be the case. So Connor writes, I feel you made him look a little silly. I would say you won the debate. So, you know, I would agree. I think I made many more reasonable positions. And I think generally speaking, people watching that would have their mind open to...
What I've seen is a guy who was sliding. He has a total different remembering of this debate. He was constantly sliding away, constantly avoiding my answers. He was escaping any kind of form I was trying to give him. He was constantly sliding away from just answering directly to my contestations.
A new position, and maybe question what is generally, like, you know, the anti-Semitic narrative. But, you know, obviously I'm biased here. So generally speaking, everyone thinks they're making the more reasonable position. You know, people who are anti-Semitic watching it would think JF won the debate. That's generally how it works. Another critique is that... And this is a tough one, right? You know, I would have wanted the conversation to stick to anti-Semitism, but he pulled it over to racial differences, specifically race.
Well, of course, you want to isolate the problem because when I, by the way, I was not interested at talking about other forms of racism, but sometimes it's important to demonstrate a double standard and to demonstrate, look, what you say doesn't make sense. You're not even living by those words. I had to take an example with another race. And that's why I didn't want this to happen. But it's important. It's important because the Jews happen to be also relatively racist. You know, Israel is not welcoming black people into its nation happily. They are extremely racist when it comes to Arabs, Arab Muslims, you know? And so it's a very important contrast that I had to exploit. It's not that I wanted to drift toward another subject of conversation. It was addressing his main point, which was we wanted to talk about anti-Semitism. But if you want to talk about anti-Semitism, you need to talk about Jewish double standards. And therefore, you need to see how Jews treat other races. And the fact is that Jews don't, they don't engage with the black population of the earth in the same way they ask us to engage with the Jews. That is, being fully inclusive and welcoming of them. So the Jews are racist in their effective political project in Israel, at least, if not outside, when you consider their dating patterns. They don't go out there and they don't take the bullet of reproducing with a black person, you know?
Race and IQ. And race and IQ is one of the single most controversial topics. Because...
I'm being shown EVE Online ads because I played EVE 1 week ago.
And I've looked at the studies, right? Any test they've done currently shows that there are differences. There are IQ differences between different ethnic and racial groups, which is unfortunate, right? Life would be so much easier if there were no differences. Now, there's a few things to do with this reality. One is say, is deny it, say it, it's just not true, that all the data just is false. Another would be to recognize it to be true and then have that lead to being racist. And I guess a third alternative would say that that's true what the data shows, but there's problems in IQ tests and different cognitive tests that they give, and a lot of it is culturally dependent and socioeconomic dependent. And that is without a doubt true. Your cognition often, you know, depends on many factors. A lot of them are environmental. Some of the studies they do correct for environment.
We've done corrections for this, and it's a minimal effect.
And they still show some discrepancy. So I think the verdict is still out to if this discrepancy can be entirely bridged, given enough.
It can't.
Enough time of like maybe it takes a few generations of like being in a certain socioeconomic status and having a certain upbringing for it to fully balance out. But it very well may be that just there's different averages, right? It's like, you know, there's clear physical differences.
The jury is out. What if we were to wait intergenerationally? Well, by the time the generations have passed, there wouldn't be white people left to compare with. That is the problem. That is the existential problem of demographics.
Is between races to the point where, you know, you live life, you could notice that people look different. You know, that takes tens of thousands, and in some instances, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution to make these physical differences. To think that you're going to have such drastic physical differences and it's not going to have any cognitive or psychological differences, it's just, you know, that's not quite realistic. So the way I try to look at this is this very well may be a reality that we need to accept. And I think it's a reality that doesn't need to be flaunted because some...
See, I appreciate this from this guy because the approach of the other intellectual Jews on this question, I'll tell you what it is. It is that they want to censor it or they want to put it under the carpet. Not because they care that much about black people, but because they are afraid that if the seed of racism can be born out of scientific observations on any other race, that one day this racism will turn toward the Jews in some form. They are afraid that if there is a precedent, that is how Jewish intellectuals think, I believe, you know, having observed them and having seen the Brett Weinsteins of this world kind of admit with indirect language that, yeah, race and IQ is true, but we shouldn't talk about it, or we'll talk about it, but in 50 years from now, at an undefined time point in the future, what I understand to be the Jewish intellectual position on this question is, we don't care that much about black people, but if we were to allow white people to talk about, oh, here's a race and here's a characteristic they have, and that's problematic, the series of three steps in the mind of white people would have created a precedent in their mind. And it eventually would turn toward the Jews. Eventually, white people would say, okay, well, the Jews don't have a lower IQ, but they have this other characteristics. And they have it on average based on observation. And it's problematic. Therefore, that's why you see so many Jews involved in censorship. You have the Susan Wojcicki, the guy who was at Twitter heading the Department of Safety. They are terrified at the idea that a discussion on race, even if true, could eventually turn against them. Master Slave says, given all of JF's advice on reproduction, the answer was always simple, act like a black man. I wouldn't say this. I am totally, by the way, you won't often see me here on this show criticize the black man. That's because I don't consider the black man a target audience. I don't care what happens to the black man. But if you were to ask me, JF, do you fully endorse the black man's behavior? No. There are some problems. There are massive problems in the lack of care, of parental care in black families. We see it on social media. The father is absent and the mother isn't good at all. She is, if anything, raising children to be more rough and violent. So absolutely, I take issue with all this. I'm not telling you be like the African. That being said, the African male is a male who has undergone a process of selection in an environment that is very much close to what Western civilization is about to become. That is an environment of female polygamy, of female rotation, of lack of loyalty, lack of marriage. And so look at the black male and know that this is your future if we don't fix this. If we don't bring back marriage in this world, we are headed toward an Africanized world, and it may not even be your descendants that do good in that world. It may be all black people. So you might have a phenomenon where wherever it's not cold enough, black people end up dominating the world.
Truths, when pushed, all they do is cause more harm in society. Now, this is not the same as saying that we need to intentionally hide a truth. I don't think that's the case. And this is, I think, where JF was struggling to understand my position. I said, I don't think it's a truth that leads to good societal outcomes. He said, yes, that's a Jewish position, hiding the truth. But there's a difference between hiding.
Well, because it's a truth that leads to good outcome when white people understand it. That is the subtlety of my argument. I'm not saying that truth is useful equally to everyone. I'm saying you guys are taking a position of hiding the truth whenever it's a truth that advantages white people. Because, of course, for white people to understand that they are surrounded by people who are different and with whom it is not wise to breed, that is only white people would gain from knowing this. Also Jews and Asians, perhaps. But certainly white people are the great beneficiaries of this information in Western civilization. So you can't choose, oh, we're going to hide these truths, but then we're going to be so open about communicating these other truths. Because when you selectively decide, oh, this part of the truth we will talk about, this part we will make it a taboo, you choose it according to your own racial interests, which aren't mine.
The truth, and just acknowledging that a truth shouldn't be.
Here's one thing you need to do before you buy anything online.
What the fuck is happening with these ads?
Don't spend another dime on.
Shouldn't be pushed. And
man, this is so. I've not been watching YouTube for a while, let me tell you. Okay, the Brave browser's ad block still works on YouTube. Man, the old days of me enjoying YouTube videos without ads, it's been a while. Now that I retry YouTube, it's like, wow, it's unusable.
And I used an example of free will, okay? Let's say we can conclude without a doubt that we don't have free will. And I'm one who believes we don't have free will. It's actually one of the positions I'm most confident in. I do think, though, that believing that we have this free will, which we certainly feel like we do, and teaching that we have agency is one of the single best ways to build a thriving society. So I would never suggest that we teach in the classroom our lack of free will, because I think it would be net negative for society. That's not the same as saying we should lie and say that we have it.
Well, you are lying by omission. Now, it just turns out that the free will question doesn't have too much societal consequence. Maybe it has a little bit. But certainly, my point that I've done in the debate is not being addressed here. My point was, it's not just a truth you want to hide. It's a truth you want to hide, and you want to hold it for yourself And you want to keep those people who would benefit from knowing that truth, white people. You want to keep them from knowing of the truths about race that you use in your everyday life. That is the point. That is what's wrong.
Now, when it comes to differences in race and ethnicity and IQ, I think that the way to look at it is, even if there's average differences, and there's average differences no matter what measurement you want to look at between any group, whether, you know, how much money they earn.
If there is average differences, there is predictability. There is extractable, useful information.
What their interests are, their height, different genetic diseases, right? Jews, specifically Ashkenazi Jews, have, you know, are higher rates of certain genetic disorders. Maybe they would even discover that Jews have a higher rate at, for some reason, they're more likely to hoard wealth, right? Maybe this was caused by many years of oppression, that they're more likely to hoard.
We're making great progress here. I have converted Adar. Adar is like, he's went down the rabbit hole. Oh my God.
Hoard stuff. And this is where the stigma that Jews are greedy comes from, right? Right? Like, this very well might be the case. Different.
Are you tired of winning yet, guys? Are you tired of winning?
Different groups have some differences in their psychology. At the end of the day, the best way to approach this topic is to understand that no matter if there's an average difference or not, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't tell you.
It does matter. It does matter. And again, this is something I've addressed in the debate. I've said it to him. I remember. I said, it matters because you may not have the time or the skill or the ability at all to judge individually. Well, when you get to choose a girlfriend, it happens in a couple of hours, maybe a couple of days worth of discussions. That's it. When you choose an employee, it's like 30 minutes worth of conversation before he's on the floor working for you. Now, in 30 minutes, you're not going to make me believe that an average normie manager in a McDo can tell your IQ. So the average matters a lot here, because what the average tells you is the coin that you're flipping. How loaded is it? Do you have 50% chance of having an employee here that could work long term? Or do you have 90% chance of having an employee that works long term? Or do you have 99% chance of having an employee that could work?
Tell you really anything about the individual. More than anything, and this is the...
Yes means tell you something about individuals. It tells you the probabilistic relationship between the individual measure and a certain number that is given by the average. And so it tells you, on any given individual that I pick from this group, I will have that many chances out of 100 to meet someone of that IQ or of that other IQ. That is something you know about individuals. It may not be full knowledge like 100%, but it's probabilistic knowledge. And by the way, everything is probabilistic knowledge. Literally everything. Even the fact that the sun will rise tomorrow is probabilistic knowledge.
The solution to group hate, more than anything, you need to get to know people as individuals, because each individual...
You don't know this. I don't know that humans are particularly insightful psychologists. I don't know that humans get to know individuals so well that they can save themselves from all of the trouble that it is to be with someone who may be violent, who may turn out to be angry, who may turn out to be so different as to be incompatible. People don't have that much judgment as these people want you to believe. By the way, this whole point is never supported by anyone. All of the intellectuals that are claiming, oh, well, it's more about individual merit. How do you rate this? What is this individual merit? Do you have an individual merit ruler? Do you think there is such a thing? the only things that are societal mechanism that evaluate individual merit are absolutely imperfect and rough tools. They are the tools of the free market, the tools of demand and offer, the tools of testing, which are highly imperfect, like testing in school, or the tools of productivity measures, which are also imperfect. And then you have the tools at the personal level of preference, of charm, of, you know, ratings of desirability. All of it is extra subjective. And yet you have an entire class of intellectuals right now that are making the argument that we should build societies around these very unstable and unknown performance measures. It's all about individual success. Well, what if you're in a society that can't see it anymore, that can't even measure individual success? What if you're in a society that wants to lie to itself about individual success? Shamrock Shake says he has an individual merit meter located beside his anti-Semitic meter. Oh, okay, he has the device.
Individual is unique, despite regardless of the ethnic or racial group they come from. And if we could really build a world where the first thing we see is not what race somebody comes from, but them as an individual and get to know them, this solves all.
We don't know that we have this insight. No scientific study has ever proven that you can accurately rate people like this. I've seen scientific studies comparing systematic measures like IQ, say, for employer interviews. Employer interviews are doing terrible. CV consultation are doing terrible. IQ is outcompeting all of these things. So they want a meritocracy of individuals, but they haven't even realized we can't have this because it doesn't. This individual merit thing you mention isn't even a thing. It's not even a measurable thing. It's more like a feeling. And here you enter the whole, you know, facts don't care about your feeling thing, which is this guy is leftist just like the other leftist. The other leftists are just more stupid about it. They're like, oh yeah, I feel that I'm a woman, therefore I'm a woman. But this guy is saying, I feel like I can tell the individual quality of people around me, and yet you can't. You haven't demonstrated it, and you won't, because studies have already been run on this. Studies have already been done. I know the answer. The answer is you look at a graph of employer evaluation of individual people. They are given 30 minutes, 1 hour to talk to the person. They're given all the time to consult their CV, their history of life. And you look at the graph and it's like, and then you look at IQ and it's like, so we've done this. We've gone through it. Individual measures aren't as good as you think they are.
All forms of group hate. And at the end of the day, whatever the average difference is, the range within each group is so vast that it's...
No, have you looked at a curve of IQ of the black population and white population? The overlap is minimal. It's scary. It's scary. There was a tweet recently that was comparing Asians without a high school diploma are more intelligent than black PhDs. Do you realize how intense that is? Asians without a high school diploma are outperforming blacks with a PhD. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind when I see this fact is, what the fuck are we doing with our PhDs? We're giving them in cereal boxes? I mean, that's what it means. That's what it means.
It's not like you can, you can't conclude much about somebody before actually getting to know them. So
you can so much. You can do so much.
This is what I...
Okay, a new guy says that was about their parents, sir. Okay, so it was the children of parents with PhDs versus the children of parents without diplomas. You're right. I now remember. I have misspoken in representing this study. Sorry. But still, I mean, can you imagine a family of black parents with PhDs? Somehow they can't pack into the next generation a level of knowledge that would surpass the Asian family without a single diploma.
This is really how, you know, I think we need to look at it.
Well, Spindly Opinion says he has found the graph. Let's have a look at it. Asians from parents without high school diploma outscore blacks from parents of PhDs. White and Asian students at the worst funded school outperform blacks from the best funded schools. Dirt poor white kids, less than 20K per year, outscore rich black kids at more than 200K per year on the SAT. Look at this SAT performance. Asians. This is the top of the Asians, but this is the bottom of the Asian population. And this is the top of the black population. The top of the black population with parents who have a PhD equivalent education is lower on the SAT score than the bottom of the Asian population. And the whites here are shown in red. The top of the white population is scoring here on the SAT score. The bottom is scoring here. But yet the bottom is above the top of the black population. I mean, this is totally undermining this whole individual measure thing. And when you look at the when you look at the ranges, these range, which is the median and the Q1 and Q3, but no matter how you want to show the spread, the fact is the overlap is minimal. The vast majority, the quarter one to quarter three, so the majority of the Asians at the top are totally separated from the majority of the whites at the top, which are totally separated from the majority of the blacks at the top. And they are definitely separated from these populations at the bottom of the black population. So individual measures, not so good compared to racial measure. Well, thank you for giving me those links. I didn't know he had made this video, so I've just reviewed it live without any knowledge of it. I love this meme. I think I may have shown it before. The whole idea that the silica gel do not heat is like the ultimate red pill. It's actually the way to get out of the simulation. This guy has decided to get out of the simulation, so he eats the silica gel. And suddenly he wakes up in a room with doctors, and the doctor says, "Congratulations, you've escaped the simulation. Welcome to the real world." I'm loving this meme. So hilarious. I would love if it was the case that a small act of revolution would be what's needed to get you out. It's like the whole simulation was a test for whether you would take it or not. Biden takes responsibility for Rafah operation. This is another Freudian slip that reveals a very important truth, which is that these Israeli operations in Gaza are American operations. Look at Biden saying it.
The king and I also discussed the situation in Rafah. As I said yesterday, our military operation in Rafah, the major military operation in Rafah.
Our military operation in Rafah, the major... He said our. The problem is it's not supposed to be our. It's supposed to be Israel that's doing this. Of course, America is behind Israel at every step, and Biden feels like it is our military operation. He tried to disguise it as a kind of misspeaking for major. But no, you didn't misspeak for major. You said our because you consider that it's our operation. Insider paper says Biden will not take a cognitive test as part of his upcoming physical exam, the White House reportedly confirmed. Look, I'm not for removing presidents from power because of cognition, because if you allow this, you allow the Democrats to go after Trump, you allow any hated president to be attacked, and the problem is that I want hated presidents. I want presidents who are so hated by the political class that 100% of them would vote to get them out. So I'm totally against removing for cognitive judgment, though it is pretty clear to me that Joe Biden has cognitive issues and he's not taking the test here. That's probably to avoid giving evidence that could lead to his dismissal and to his replacement with Kamala Harris. Bitcoin Archive was illustrating this guy. The bears waiting for 10K Bitcoin. Oh my God, I was so happy when I woke up this morning and I saw my block clock at 50K. It was at 49,999. And I was like, oh my God, that's beautiful to see. 50K, we are now above 50K and it keeps rising. This guy will never get to buy his Bitcoin at 10K. I told you so. I told you guys it was a risky bet to wait for 10K. And there you go. It didn't happen. Yesterday, Biden published a weird meme.
Really quickly, Elise. So for people that don't get this, and which it was the first 1,000 or so after he put it up, they're like, watch this. This is, of course, mocking all the MAGA, ultra MAGA freaks that were saying that this was all rigged from the very beginning.
Okay, mainstream media hosts don't understand the red eye laser memes. The red eye meme can be used to illustrate just a vision. To illustrate someone who's, you know, visionary and who's outpowered everyone else around him, who's outpredicted everyone else. But mostly these days, it has converged toward a single reference, which is, it's a reference to Bitcoin maximalist. It's not a reference to MAGA conspiracy theorist. I don't know where he gets this. And so Joe Biden published this. Just like we drew it up, Joe Biden with red laser eyes. So it's not clear to me, just like we drew it up. The thing is, what I think happened here, I don't think that Biden himself is a Bitcoin maximalist, okay? I don't think that Biden himself is posting his own tweets anyway. So I believe that what happened here is perhaps there is within the Biden team, there is a staff who controls the Twitter account and who's the meme generation and who's also a Bitcoin maximalist. And he thought, I'm going to tell Biden that these red laser eyes are about something that they're not. Like they're just the general red laser eyes. But it's going to be good for Bitcoin. And I think that's what we have here. We have perhaps a leftist staff who's kind of into the whole Bitcoin maximalist meme, but who kind of maybe hid the truth about the meaning of the meme, the full meaning of the meme to the team of the Democrats, released this meme in the name of Joe Biden, but it's really not Joe Biden. And there you go. You have people asking, what the fuck is Joe Biden a Bitcoin maximalist? He certainly isn't, because he's part of the elite, and the elite hates Bitcoin. And we've seen his own SEC is trying to give trouble to the crypto world as much as they can. So, no, I don't think he's a Bitcoin maximalist, but it doesn't matter. Someone in his team perhaps wanted to seed that meme indirectly. Chicago mayor touts a program where black-owned businesses were given $17 million to feed illegal aliens. White-owned businesses did not qualify for the program.
The $17 million investment for these 18 black and brown small businesses is really the... it really captures what I call the soul of Chicago. It's who we are.
Here's the soul of Chicago. You're going to make these sandwiches with tomatoes and turkey and lettuce. We're going to buy these sandwiches at totally overpriced, marked price. But we're going to just overbuy it to black businesses. And you're going to just sell them to illegal migrants. You're going to give them, in fact, to illegal migrants. So you end up having... You end up having just money being thrown at everything that is wrong with America. You have money being thrown into a pit of America worsening, where black-owned businesses now are profiting off of overpriced sandwiches being given away to illegal migrants. The whole thing being an enterprise of basically demographic genocide, where money is taken from white people, productive people, given to unproductive people to undermine the stability of the productive people. Absolutely disgusting. Rusty Shackleford had the right words to describe the situation with Bitcoin. A great wealth transfer is coming. People paying attention deserve the reward coming. The people not paying attention deserve to get left behind. The only people I will feel sorry for is the people who are already in poverty and can't buy Bitcoin. Absolutely. You know, Bitcoin to me is the proof that anyone in my lifetime could have become rich. I'm sorry, but you could have had $1,000. And if you were a visionary, and this is not to say you have to be a visionary, but to the people who think that the whole system is biased so much that they can't possibly make it, I will tell you, you could have had $1,000 at some point in your life where the price of Bitcoin was extremely low. You could have avoided spending that $1,000 on some crap and instead spend it on something productive like Bitcoin. So you could have gotten rich. I was saying in the original tweet, the BTC ETF money coming in as retard strength. Few understand. I've been thinking today about this concept of retard strength. You know, this whole idea that when you're retarded, you have so little inputs from your body and the physical world that you're actually processing that you can go like, and that gives you, that is a force in and of itself, the ability to ignore the world and to deploy your maximal hitting force. That is what retard strength is. And I realized that the Bitcoin ETFs are the equivalent of retard strength. That's exactly what the Bitcoin ETFs are. They are money that's given like 24 hours in advance, sometimes even more, where people are saying to BlackRock, hey, invest that money into Bitcoin. That money just slowly stacks into a BlackRock bank account. And then at the end of the day or at the end of the next day or 1 week later, or when the Sunday is over, when the weekend is over, or when the holidays are done, BlackRock says, let's buy some Bitcoin. on the market because we had these guys who wanted us to buy Bitcoin with it. So you have here retard strength. It doesn't matter that we're at 50K. There's going to be the same amount of people, if not more, tomorrow morning telling BlackRock, please buy more Bitcoin for me. We are headed toward a unidirectional, monotonic, just poof. We are on the retard strength path. And if you don't understand this, you will do very poor on trading. Because you're going to be there, oh, I'm going to short the market. No, you're not going to short. You can't short retard strength. You can't. Never forget this. If you want to get good on the market, understand retard strength and measure it. Just realize the force you're against. CEO of Morgan Stanley, James Gorman, admits, I never understood the store of value, but Bitcoin is not going away. It's a fad. It's not a fad.
The approval, actually, or the lack thereof, of a Bitcoin spot ETF in the United States. When you think about what wealthy clients invest in, when you think about the future of wealth management, do you think Bitcoin is a suitable investment?
I've never been, I've never really understood the value of Bitcoin as a form of stored value. Others have, and others have made a lot of money on it. I joked once, I wish I bought it at $60, and I'm glad I didn't buy it at $60,000. It's clearly speculative. I think it should play for wealthy people.
It's not even speculative. It's really just free market. It's an illustration of a market that hasn't yet been taken over by elites and institutions controlling every movement. The Bitcoin ups and downs are the illustration of actual demand and offer. Finally, we're back to it. Documenting Bitcoin was sharing this graph showing the adoption of various technologies, steel production, railroads, cement production, fixed phones. And when you look at BTC, it's a little bit as if you had a motor vehicle and it's 1910. It's a little bit like you have a fixed telephones and you're in the 1880. It's a little bit like you have the internet, but you're in 1992. Isn't it fascinating? Bitcoin, it's a little bit like you vaccinated your children for measles, but you're in 1972. It's a little bit like having a VCR in 1981. Stephen Robinson says, hot alt season coming right up. Not now, but yes, it will come for sure. I expect that there will be... I consider that we are entering the first true bull run wave. I consider that the increase we've seen in the past 3 months are wave zero. I didn't even include it in the bull run. So I consider that right now is the first wave of increase of the bull run. I don't think it's over yet. And I have assessed that there should be between 3 and 5 waves of increase. So we are at wave one, and to these 3 to 5 waves of increase, there will be 3 to 5 alt seasons, with the alt season being the most important at the very end, at the last wave. So we are extremely early. Today I did a little graph. I wanted to compare the BTC market cap to the US debt. So at some point, if BTC keeps going up and up, and if money is getting printed because the government is in debt but can't pay back, you're going to have a situation where the debt is growing, but Bitcoin would be growing faster. And Bitcoin would represent an increasing fraction of the total debt of the US. And I was fascinated by the results. the percentage. The percentage of the that represents the percentage of the Bitcoin market cap to total of US debt is currently 3%. I'm surprised. I thought it would be lower. I thought the US debt was so ginormous that it would be like 0.3%. But no, it's 3%. And in fact, it reached a peak in 2021 at 4.25%. So it's interesting. Will there be a day where the Bitcoin market cap is 100% of the US debt? There should. Will there be a day where Bitcoin is 1,000,000% of the US debt? It should. So basically, if you look at the entirety of America, and you can kind of look at the debt of America and see it as a measure of confidence of the value of this economy and this government and this society. For now, lots of money is in the government debt. Not much money is on Bitcoin, only 3%. Eventually, I consider that Bitcoin should be more valuable than a promise by the US government to reimburse, right? To reimburse in USD. And isn't that amazing? And this graph made me think perhaps there is a day at which the US government is taking debt in Bitcoin. Can you imagine the value? There would be so much more value in saying, I'm taking one Bitcoin from you. I'm going to pay back 6% interest in Bitcoin versus 6% interest in USD. Because in a way, the USD scheme has been debunked. It's been, people now understand, okay, you're telling me you're giving me back 3%, but the inflation will be higher than 3%. So you're really not giving me back 3%. That is the big scam of the USD. What happens when the government just can't do it anymore, where people cut it out and they say, I want to be paid interest in Bitcoin? John Drake says it will have to eventually. Yeah, that's what I realized today. It might have to. Master Slave says, pull a reverse mortgage on your home and use it as leverage to buy BTC. I'm not into leveraged homes. I really love the peace of mind of living in a home that you fully own. That's my thing. I understand it may be rational to do what you suggest there. But to me, nothing feels better than being in a home that you fully own. So I do not recommend that path, although it may be your only path to Bitcoin. Last news item before we close the show. I realized yesterday that Taylor Swift is a condom for football, for me. Hear me out. Taylor Swift as a football condom. What I mean is you can know Taylor's side one without knowing anything about football, nor about the teams that were playing. You can go in non-committally. Perhaps a better analogy is that Taylor Swift is the ZK proof of a computational process called football.